Actaris with Narnine of Solar X Group in the ship, Drockton. I am on Pluto. Massar will be in your atmosphere tonight. Try for radio contact for sure. Love. Zo. Plan well to avoid slip-ups. Follow our instructions or we cannot come in. Some will try to trick us. Must be careful. Mr. R must try to be calm while at radio. He wants contact very much. Too much concentration is a block. We will protect the group. My wife, is the first woman in her position to come into your atmosphere. She comes to help the women of group. Prepare yourselves quickly now, Harmony. Try hard. Do the best you can. This is Lomek of Venus. I am with Terra on ship 49 coming into Ceres. You will be contacted tonight by radio. Greetings to all. We had a short rest and continued our contact at 5:30 PM Zo. Many are here and greet you. Kadalaku had a meeting on Pluto with Tuka. We are now several miles above you. 2 PM is all right for landing tomorrow. Be sure to try a radio tonight. There must be no confusion. Watch. World's wait. My young son, Alex, greets you all. He is with me now. If you only knew what you did to your body by smoking, you would quit at once. We never use tobacco. It is poison. Bell flight of 200 craft from Safanian solar system, 500 from the Tessiton solar system. There are 14,000 bells near the second moon, Fauser. We have many bells in our mother craft. It was 5:30 PM when they told us they were over Winslow. At 5:55 PM we heard a tremendous swishing sound and a roar. The neighbors heard it also and couldn't figure out what it was. It was definitely not a jet plane. It was a sound that we couldn't recognize. It was more like the sound of a big beehive. After we went outside we saw them in the distance moving at great speed through the sky. Actar speaking. Try 405 KC. Tonight. Ronan. This is wife of Zo. I have my own ship called, Belga. Women do not ride with men on journeys to Ceres because of the nature of such trips. My love to each and every one of you. I am Nora, my brothers. Head of landing contact group. Here are instructions for you. Ship of planet Massar will attempt landing Ceres tomorrow at 2 PM Ship of Riga with Zo. Its name is Clactine. Many crystal bells over your world tonight. Kadalaku speaking. I designed the ship Clactine. It is a special landing craft. We will have much to tell you when we see you. Our form will touch your form. It is the father's plan. Mr. R may not wish to go. He is needed on Ceres for a purpose. All of this is up to you. Whatever you wish to do. This is Zago of Contact Group. When we land we shall say to you in the Solex Mal, to Vexatum du Patla Barriga. Then you will answer us by saying, Udum Regan Vecchionto Nictum Barriga. Vecca means space. Barriga means friends. Kadalaku again. Landing ship is being readied on Fauser. Big observatories of world look at moon and see many craft there. They know they are not seeing locusts. Radio tonight. Pona speaking. Soon I shall have beautiful words to say to you. In the evening we were at Mr. R's in the ham shack. We all felt that we would have a contact with our space friends, for they always told us the truth. 8 people were present besides Mr. R's father-in-law from Tennessee. He had arrived almost unexpectedly. The results of the radio contacts were astounding. We never dreamed that we would have such experiences. When the set was turned on we had almost immediate contact. Agfa Alpha Ceres is listing 92A degrees 2. Here is the planet of Sugafaris calling Ceres. This is the planet of Sugafaris calling Ceres. Agfa. Very poor condition exists. VVS Venus Venus. Tfaz KSR Rajafkunt VA. When Mr. R received the message that the planet Earth was listing 92A degrees he turned to us and said, I can't go for that. However, it is obvious that they were not referring to our method of dividing a circle. The word Sugafaris was repeated several times each time it came in. By very poor condition exists. They were referring to Earth. Saras ples VV very 92 haste. Mr. R quickly turned to 92 meters on the receiver. This band is used for aircraft communication. It seemed a speech was being given in the large auditorium. The static was terrible and we could only hear a word now and then. The voice was loud and masterful and spoke perfect English. There was reference to Germany and America and that they could no longer appeal to reason, etc. That is about all we could understand of the message. This was our first and last contact by radio telephony. Because we did not have good reception on 92 meters, Mr. R switched back to 405 KC. Our second appeasement to the people of Earth. Shortwave broadcast. We await, WHYB in such, when haste is dash. This must be the time. This must be. Haste, haste. We cannot stand by and see another waste of creation. This is the time. Cannot fail. Cannot fail. This can be the end of all Onceras. The landing will be for sure. Soon, soon, haste. Is all in readiness. You must be there. So much depends. 4K4. 40 miles OFFK4. There was a long pause before transmission began again. We couldn't understand what they meant by K4. We thought it might refer to a certain area on a map. Would this mean they had changed their mind in regard to the chosen landing site? Mr. R finally asked them what K4 was. Sorry, now you must know. K4 spaceship outside. This must be a danger sign to the wonder of Earth peoples. The landing will be for sure. We don't care if we are seen but must be on the watch, be careful. We'll be there if no outside dash. From Massa. This does not seem to be a very long contact, but there may be many pauses before a complete message is received. The code itself is a wonderful thing to hear. The quality is very unusual and the speed of transmission is very fast. It was necessary for Mr. R to request that they transmit slower if possible. They then sent about 3 words at a time. But the speed itself was in no way reduced. Perhaps, because of the nature of their sending device, they cannot slow down the transmission noticeably. Always, just before a message would come in, a loud signal would be sent. This was used to alert Mr. R so that he could get back to his set before the code began. All of us had been trying to decide about Mr. R's father-in-law. The old gentleman thought we were going on a picnic the following day. Several of the women were helping Mrs. R in her kitchen prepare chicken, sandwiches, etc. Mrs. R didn't know what to do with her father. If she took him to the landing site, he might prevent the landing by his presence. Also, because of his extremely poor health, he might suffer a heart attack if he saw a ship. On the other hand, if she left him at home, he would be alone and would think he wasn't wanted because he was old. She asked all of us what we thought she should do. We could reach no final decision in the matter. Suddenly, without Mr. R having to transmit a word, the code came in again. You should not. We believed that this was an answer to what we had just been discussing. We thought if we did take him to the landing site, we would tell him all about our radio contacts and what to expect beforehand. Evidently they didn't want us to say anything to him yet. But how did they know what we had been thinking or saying? Mr. R had transmitted nothing. Did these space intelligences receive our thoughts? If we had stopped to think, we would have known they did, for they contacted us by means of the board in the same manner. It wasn't any more unusual to do so by radio. We wanted to clear it all up, so Mr. R transmitted, "What about Elder B?" Then there was a long delay of about 1 hour and 45 minutes. But the message they gave us was well worth waiting for. With care, his mind, scars, still resting. Trying again. Source of Gafferis. Jupiter trying to get mind correlation of father. Mind scars prevent them from searching deep. Cannot reach full probe. Man is elderly. Too much probing may fuse mind. Jupiter cannot reach you. Relay from Massa. Still trying to reach full probe. Mind scars prevent. There will be found saline solution by bed. Please clean. Will help chemical compon, in. Now this, depth of mind can be reached in, never fear the age they can help again when they are brought to life. Body cell deterioration not in neck, a poor conductor. Quality in, will let this go by tribunal on Saturn. They wait for complete probe of mind. IK4. Moving away from there, to a wag for aphorephosloquo. Between. All sources must keep clear of all space, the ship's number 400 in your SKY. Keda. 5555 Kala. The space intelligences couldn't have known that Elder B was Mr. R's father-in-law, yet they said they were trying to get a mind correlation of the father. Again, they had picked up our conversation and thoughts. Also, it seemed they had seen the spacecraft from Sugafairies. The old gentleman was asleep all this time inside the house. They knew this fact also. He suffers from excessive, frequent passage of urine, and when Mrs. R went into his bedroom to check on him, she found the solution they said would be there. It was beyond belief. How could beings as far away as Mars and Jupiter know what was going on inside a bedroom millions of miles away? Of course, there was a spacecraft nearby, but still many miles away. What powers these people must have. And what did they mean by, never fear the age they can help again when they are brought to life? Did this mean that these space friends had the knowledge of life and death? Could they give us proof positive of life after death? These people had the answers to man's oldest questions. Mr. R missed much of these messages because of speed of transmission and the very nature of them. He was astounded, as we all were. He said, if I ever doubted it, I don't now. After a long pause again, another message came in. Massar to friends of Sarah's. B of Beast. Mind probe is not injuring his reaction to ship. He will recover if any serious results do occur. He will not if he is all in the tribunal. They have just made contact with deep probe. Can see no harm to mind. He should by all sense, B, walk him to spot and if appear, tell him what is expected. He believes. Is what you call like you can be great depth in, have in mind great sorrow. Not hurt keep him warm. This cannot be ending of all. Ending of all. Ending of all. Ending of all. Massa. The radio contact had started about 7:30 p.m. and continued until late in the night. We had set up a small refracting telescope in Mr. Ra's backyard. While observing the moon, we were amazed to see what appeared to be a star just above its outer surface. But it was too brilliant to be a star, and it moved in a clockwise direction with the moon. We observed this object for several hours. Its movements were strange, and we wondered if this was some gigantic powerhouse of a spaceship relaying our messages from Massar and Jupiter. At last we would meet our space friends face to face. We could hardly believe that we were to be so honored. Next headline. The 28th of September 1952. Unfortunately, our plans were poorly made. Our contacts had told us to be careful and plan wisely. None of us knew the exact landing site except Mr. R. We thought it would be safer if only one should decide and the others follow him. Before we drove off in two cars, we told Mr. R to stop at any fork in the road where he might turn off. This would avoid separation. He did just that. He turned off the main road, parked and waited for us. But, as our car neared that point, our view was cut off by the passing of two large logging trucks from the mountains. They were traveling very fast and there was much dust. We spent the rest of the day trying to find each other. Of course, we missed the appointment for 2 p.m. We finally found Mr. R and his car back in town about 6 p.m. The results of this unfortunate venture made us realize that we were not prepared for such an event. We felt that we had missed the chance of a lifetime. All of our thinking at that time was directed at the landing contact as an end in itself. We have since realized that universal service is indeed eternal. The goals of today become the doorways to tomorrow's duty. We were all very hungry as Mr. R had the picnic food in his car. After eating, we decided we should at least try for radio contact. We didn't think they would ever come in again. Why should they? We had failed them. Yet, we thought perhaps they would give us further instructions. A contact was made about 9:20 p.m. that evening. Radio is dangerous. You must not use your radio. You will be contacted by a man if our plans are to be changed. Yes, yes. Hope this speed is copy. A man will contact you when all is ready. Do not use radio. Must hurry. Our time is short. Yes, yes, copy. We waited several minutes before the next code came in. End. E. We locate you. At 10:45 p.m. another message came in. Greetings, you have, okay. Do not expand your minds. You have inherent minds. Use them. Wait. All of these last messages were of short duration with a long pause between each of them. At 11:20 p.m. we again made contact. Radioman has deep secret in his mind. We will not reveal. We are alarmed. Mr. R turned to us and said, if they had known about this before, they would never have picked me for your radioman. Immediately, they came in again. B of B's. Again we waited several minutes. Happy. Happy. You radioman, are installed in the records. Good. Attention. Surprised my brother? We had no idea what they meant by deep secret. Mr. and Mrs. are new, however. Nevertheless, we have never been curious enough to ask them what was meant. What they were trying to convey by telling us, installed in the records, we do not know. We received a final message at 1:40 a.m. the 29th of September 1952. Although much of it was a series of numbers, we copy it here as it was given. S-A-R-A-G for A-W-A-P-I-R-I K-4 K-4-P-I-R-I A-F-A-A-G for Z-O-P-I-R-I. AGFA is finished. AGFA is finished. AGFA is finished. 110-25 and 900 ha so 52 and 90-34-02-26-21-02-3-33-1500 watts 252 there, on 100-02-0-600-02-242-257-90-20-72-034. Even though we had missed a landing with friends from other inhabited worlds, we still had a joyous time in Mr. R's ham shack. Anyone can imagine the suspense, the excitement that all of us felt during these radio contacts. There were usually 8 or 9 of us huddled together in the little shack waiting for information from our space friends. The 30th of September 1952, 11 p.m. It was a wonderful evening to look at the heavens, so we had our small telescope set up in Mr. R's backyard again. A 14-year-old neighbor boy came over to join us in our astronomy lesson. We were looking at Jupiter with its bands and some of its 12 moons when this boy said that he had been having strange dreams lately. He said that a voice in his dream told him to tell no one about them, yet while he talked to us he had a strong impression to tell us. The moment he related their details we told him to go into the ham shack and write down everything he could remember. This young man's name is Ronnie Tucker and he is a student in Winslow, Arizona. His most amazing dream took place the same night that the mind probe was relayed from Jupiter. After the voice had warned him not to tell anyone of what he saw, he awoke from the dream covered with perspiration and looked out of his window on the porch. He said there was a beam of light about 1 foot wide, and tubular in shape, misty white, coming from far out in space and going directly into that part of Mr. R's home where his father-in-law was sleeping. Did young Ronnie Tucker see the beam that was conducting the mind probe on Elder B? He must have, for he knew nothing of our research and couldn't possibly have timed the dream with the Jupiter radio message. Mr. R wanted to tell the boy about our work, but was afraid to. He told him that there were certain things he should know, but it might take a week or so to decide in his case. The receiving set was turned on to 405 KC. While all this was going on, immediately the following message came through and Mr. R hadn't transmitted a thing. K4 K4 this is K4. Okay the new one. K4 K4i. This was truly wonderful. Our space friends accepted this boy. Now we were certain that, if they wanted to, they could know every thought, action and deed of man on Earth. Ronnie told us that in another dream they told him that they wanted to save our planet. They said they would do all they could with our help. They told him they believed that no man should destroy another but that all men should live universal law and love everyone and live in peace, working together. They assured him that life was eternal. At 6:30 p.m. another board contact was made. This in Ankar 22 of Jupiter speaking. Jupiter is the mental research center of this solar system. We will continue to help. On your Earth there are magnetic anomalies. Your scientists wonder why meteorites fall in a pattern and in certain locations over the world. They also wonder why great civilizations are found where meteorites are found. The answer is simple. The anomalies attract the meteorites, and these same anomalies amplify universal influx from outer space. Therefore, you will find better living conditions, finer art and music and so on in the same place you find the meteorites. Our space friends had told us that we would be contacted by a man when all was ready. This man undoubtedly would be an inhabitant of another planet. We were most excited over this possibility. During the month of September 1952, saucers were being seen everywhere by competent observers. The entire world was becoming sky-conscious. During the week of 5 October, a cousin of Mr. R's was visiting him in Winslow. This man knew nothing of our research and had never mentioned saucers to Mr. R before. One night the two men were in the radio shack when they suddenly heard a strange low hum and a buzzing sound. Mr. R asked his cousin to go outside and see what it was. "Come here quickly," his cousin called. Mr. R arrived too late to see a strange, orange-colored, oval-shaped object hovering directly above his antenna. He said, "What do you think it was?" His cousin replied, "That was a flying saucer." At once they made an attempt to establish radio contact, but it was unsuccessful. On 12 October at 1 p.m. an unusual thing happened. We make mention of it here because so many other people, in dealing with saucer phenomena, have noticed the same thing. We were in Winslow at Al's house, when suddenly we smelled a very powerful odor. It was similar to burning metal in acid. We could not locate its source, and it seemed to be only in the house. On 21 October at 8:10 p.m., a small private plane crashed and burned at Winslow, Arizona. This plane was on a mercy flight to a Phoenix hospital with a 14-month-old polio victim. All four passengers were instantly killed. One of the workers at the Winslow Timber Company was working late, and saw the plane take off and minutes later burst into flames. He told the car investigators that immediately after the crash, and before the ambulance and fire truck had arrived, an orange streak sped across the sky and apparently landed by the stricken plane. "We know that the saucers do not harm anyone. Perhaps they knew of the child and tried to help. Of course, we do not know just what did take place." We were now trying to separate our own thoughts from those of the space intelligences. We used the board rarely, for we felt it might be hindering our progress in the development of more direct telepathic contact. The 1st of November 1952, 6:30 p.m. Artic of Pluto speaking. "Have no fright, all is right. Our ships are silver lights, lights of beauty, lights of duty. Anchor 22. Please concentrate, as we are going to go a step ahead in our telepathic work. One of you will receive a message from our brother, Pona. Your planet is called Ceres because of the repetition of cataclysms that have visited you. Only technical advance has been made on Ceres, and this is the wrong kind of achievement, for you are now engulfed in darkness that has no equal." Riga speaking. "Men of Ceres have sought only the ways of the flesh. They have a form of spirituality, but deny the power and majesty of the Creator. The so-called educated man is a fool. The nations are bathed in the blood of myriads of young men, women and children. What will Ceres do with her new powers? You are as children with a dangerous toy. We are out in the vastness, and we watch your industries where greed is born, your capitals where wars are born, your laboratories where discoveries are made. We see the birth cradle and we see the early death shroud. There is something far more beautiful, more satisfying, than you have attained. We have been observing you for a long time now. We are your brothers. Have we not shown this to be true over and over again? If there is violence, it will be of your making, not ours. We know that among you there are those who desire and seek the love and knowledge which alone makes man free. We have tasted of it, and it is good, it is sweet. Look up, people of Ceres. Be of one mind and purpose. We are not unattainable, for we are here with you. We wait, we watch, we listen." Many other messages were received by members of our group by direct telepathic contact, which we never would have received had we not become as one mind. It took weeks of meditation and concentration, holding self down, and allowing ourselves to become attuned to the influx from the universe. The universe has much to offer us if we but stop our senseless wars and exploitation of our brothers, and return once more to a true realization of creation. Wonderful and almost unbelievable things await us if we but awaken and arise to meet those who are now awakening throughout the world. Next headline, the 20th of November 1952. Mr. and Mrs. Williamson. With Mr. and Mrs. Bailey were in company with three other people in the desert near Desert Center, California, when a cigar-shaped mothership was observed by all present and a personal contact was made with one of the occupants of a scout-type saucer. Flying saucers have landed by Desmond Leslie and George Adamski. Many things happened during December 1952 and January, February 1953. Saucer sightings increased and nature went on a rampage. We need not go into that here, for the newspapers and radio broadcasts covered it thoroughly. However, there were many sightings of great importance that were never heard of by the man in the street. On the 21st of December 1952, Mr. R. and five other residents of Arizona observed a large, cigar-shaped mothercraft over the city. They watched it from 5 p.m. until dark. Two smaller saucers were seen to enter the larger craft, and a few minutes later one left the mothership. This was observed through field glasses. On the 3rd of February 1953, Mr. and Mrs. Williamson were coming home from town in Prescott, Arizona, when they observed two saucers come within a few feet of the ground. These craft were close enough so that the general outline and the light on top could be observed. There was absolutely no sound. About 10 p.m. the same night, Mr. Williamson saw another saucer with an amber light go directly over his house. It was a very low. Since then, many of these spacecraft have been seen in northern Arizona and elsewhere. Many people are afraid to tell about what they have seen. The 15th of February 1953, 11:25 p.m., we were at Mr. R's for a short conference. We were trying to decide what we should do about this report you are now reading. How should it be written? Should all the facts be given to the public? We did know that we should continue to be of one mind and then carefully make our plans. We knew, also, that our space friends would want the truth given. Nothing else would do. Mr. R. had the radio set turned on, as he always does when he is in the radio shack. One never knows when a signal might come in from the spacecraft intelligences. He had transmitted nothing. In fact, he doesn't need to transmit anymore. They will answer any and all problems they feel important by coming in on the receiver if it is on. Mr. R. also wondered if the a sense wasn't really you, a sense. Suddenly a radio code signal just seemed to slide in on 405 kc. At first, Mr. R. couldn't make any sense out of the dot and dash system. Finally one word stood out. It was Centaurus. We do not know what it could mean, except it closely resembles the name of a constellation. Then a very understandable message came through. Okay, this time is for you to decide. Ah. The message ended at 12:05 a.m., 16 February 1953. They would not decide for us on this report. It was up to us. So, we have set it down exactly as it happened. It is unfortunate that some of the messages were not understandable. Afa was on a ship called K5, and he was apparently going to give us the name of his own planet and the ship's origin. We knows that all radios in the world are not silent. Many of them are now receiving information from our brothers in the sky. We hope that this report will awaken interest amongst others, and that they will honestly attempt contact with our visitors from space. They have come a long way to help us. Let us extend to them the hand of friendship and welcome. Next headline, 7th part. The Man in the Moon. Men of other worlds have beaten us to our own satellite, and have established bases there. This is the reason why we have seen strange lights and blinkings on the moon for many years now. These have never been adequately explained. These lights on the moon have been reported by reputable astronomers over a long period of time.